You say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's what I'm doing, making it mine. The Lord said, vengeance is mine. Where was I reading? No, it's this book. I know what's in the other book. Where is that mayor's airplane? That's what I said, 103. I was about 45 miles northeast of Miami, flying about 250 feet above sea level, when a hissing, smashing updraft hit me, bounced the plane about 1,000 feet upward. Flying low now, in a trough in the water, I suddenly realized that what I was looking at was not a ship at all. There seemed to be a huge building down in the water. The water seemed to get shallower around it. I could see a slanting side of a building that looked like a mountain. I was down at about 50 feet from the surface and could see it in the water. I circled around it for about a minute and a half. I read this before, didn't I? And I could even, but not for the folks in Nashville and Winston-Salem and Richmond and Norfolk. I circled around it for about a minute and a half, and I could even see barnacles on it and water running past the top of it. At my point of angle and from my position, I could clearly see it was a monstrous building. The sun was radiating in such a way that in its rays I could see. Now, another diver did something strange in this area. Yeah. A diving experience in Bahama waters related by Dr. Ray Brown, a diver and lecturer of Mesa, Arizona, indicates how the sea bottom can change as a result of a violent storm. Within the Bermuda Triangle, such a storm can sometimes uncover ruins for a short time, only before they're buried again under the seafloor. Dr. Brown, I'll go back to the flyer, and I'll go back to the sea and the Coast Guard and the Mass. That's not a Catholic experience. Dr. Brown, who was familiar with the Berry Islands of the Bahamas, where he had previously searched for Spanish treasure galleons, returned there in 1970. I'm boring you.
No, sir.
He detailed his experience in an interview with the author. I'm in Atlantis, the Eighth Continent by Charles Berlitz. We're going to have some of these in our bookstore. Quote, when we returned to where we had been before looking for the sunken galleons, a violent squall came up. We had to hang on to the mangroves on the island. It was so violent. 6 to 8 foot waves broke over us. We lost most of our equipment. In the morning, this was 1970. In the morning, we saw that our compasses were spinning and our magnetometers were not giving readings. We took off northeast from the island, determined by the stars, the compasses were gone. It was murky, but suddenly we could see outlines of buildings under the water. It seemed to be a large, exposed area of an underwater city. We were 5 divers, and we all jumped in and dove down looking for anything we could find. As we swam on, the water became clearer. I was close to the bottom at 135 feet and was trying to keep up with the diver ahead of me. I turned to look toward the sun through the murky water. and saw a pyramid shape shining like a mirror, about 35 to 40 feet from the top was an opening. I was reluctant to go inside. But I swam in anyway. The opening was like a shaft debouching into an inner room. I saw something shining. It was... Let's go back to the flight now. Or maybe we should go back to the mass. Less than 2 hours later, those on the bridge were gazing ahead in awe, no more than a mile. I'm back to the mass. Devil's Triangle. Less than 2 hours later, those on the bridge were gazing ahead in awe, no more awe, no more than a mile ahead. Looming up out of the sea was a huge, dark, mass that seemed to stretch from horizon to horizon and reach skyward as high as the men could see. The radar, which was capable of penetrating fog, showed this to be a solid mass. Minutes later, the Yamacraw was alongside the huge mass. Commander Strouch ordered his men, I'm going to touch that, to rig the 36-inch diameter carbon arc searchlight. As the ship moved along slowly, parallel to the mass, the men noticed that... Let's go back to the ship. The sun was radiating in such a way that in its rays I could see this huge building clearly visible down under the water. I started to time myself on the leg out to get readings of the location when out of this blue, clear day, another strange incident occurred. All my magnetics had gone to zero. Then a strange hue occurred all around me. At about 600 feet above water in the air, that bright crimson hue simply baffled me. That 240 horsepower Continental began to be the most crazily running engine I've ever had the experience to feel. It became motionless. No matter what I did with the throttle and pumps, it glided and floated smoothly for at least 2 miles. Then the engine simply started itself. I couldn't dive because I was already on top of the water. Then I realized that some force was pulling toward a westerly direction. Now, after all this, I finally got back to the airport with my Ben Dix blasting hell out of everybody, but not one single band would respond. After landing and getting inspection of radio communication and units, every last unit was blown, shorted out by some high-frequency electronic shock or mysterious high voltage in the air. They said I might have run through a magnetic belt or something. Over the past years, I've been back many times, but I could never sight it again. A lot of damn Miamians made fun of my story, but I know I'm right. You've hit with a sonar instrument the very object I talked about in exactly the same area. Now, he is saying that about somebody else that found this pyramid thing. Now, I skipped a couple of lines. When I jumped down, I started to leg myself. The sun was radiating in such a way that in its rays I could see this huge building clearly visible down under the water. I thought I saw... Now, let's go back to... Oh, no, this other guy. The swimmer. I was reluctant to go inside. Now, wait a minute. This other fellow over here, Airy, you remember? Airy Marshall said, first thing I noticed, he's underwater exploring. He organized the Greek industrialist. He organized the expedition in 78 and was down there with closed-circuit television footage. Found this pyramidal mound off the Kaisal Bank at a depth of 750 feet. We were right over the pyramid. The top seemed to be about 150 feet from the surface with a total depth of about 650 feet. We lowered the camera and the high-intensity lights down the side of the mass and suddenly came to an opening. Light flashes or shining white objects were being swept into the opening by turbulence. Further down, the same thing happened in reverse. They were coming out again, lower level. Now they're swimmer. Back to him. As we swam on, the water became clearer. It was close to the bottom at 135 feet. Trying to keep up the diver ahead of me, I turned to look toward the sun through the murky water and saw a pyramid shape shining like a mirror. About 35 to 40 feet from the top was an opening. I was reluctant to go inside, but I swam in anyway. The opening was like a shaft debouching into an inner room. I saw something shining. It was a crystal held by two metallic hands. I had on my gloves, and I tried to loosen it. It became loose. As soon as I grabbed it, I felt this was the time to get out and not come back. I'm not the only person who's seen these ruins. Others have seen them from the air and say they're 5 miles wide and more than that in length. Reports from the other divers who were with Dr. Brown at the time are unavailable since three of them have died or disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle while diving. Dr. Brown still has the crystal, which he sometimes shows to lecture audiences. Inside the round crystal can be seen a series of pyramidal forms. When one holds the crystal, as his author did, a throbbing sensation is felt in the hand of the holder, whether by autosuggestion or some quality inherent in the object. Back to the mass. Oh, here's another story, too. October 21st, 1962 was the 50th wedding anniversary of Anthony and Emma Hessler of Fort Lauderdale. Who cares? To celebrate, they took a 3-day cruise to Nassau aboard the SS Florida. The big white cruise ship sailed from Miami at about 5:15 on Friday, 5:15 p.m., October 19th. Holding hands, the Hessler stood. Isn't that cute? At the rail on the promenade deck, looking back at the vessel's wake and the Miami skyline silhouetted with the late afternoon sun. The sky was cloudless. The sea was flat, calm. The only wind was that created by the ship's movement. At approximately 7 o'clock, the Hesslers sat down at their table in the dining room for their evening meal. They had just been served their soup and salad when suddenly Emma Hessler found herself sitting on the deck, covered with her food. Curious, full of sympathy. Trays of food were flying across the room. Chairs, tables, food, and people were sliding across the dining room. The ship had suddenly listed 45 degrees to the port. Then slowly, very slowly, let's go back to the mass. For half an hour, the Yamacraw steamed slowly along the edge of the mass. From time to time, do you realize I've been going for 2 hours? Are you convinced this is a strange area? And there seems to be some remarkable consistency of pyramid-like encounters. Shall I continue?
Yes, sir.
Not unless you call me. I mean, you know, I talk 55 minutes. I'm entitled to get somebody to talk to me for 5 minutes. I don't know whether anybody's going to be in the King's House Sunday. I have a jet. I could be over to the edge of the Bermuda Triangle. Don't think I'm going to fly over it. Just soon land at Miami and get some binoculars and stare out there. Come think of it, I'm not sure I ever want to fly over that area again.